So natural law is a set of universal, inherent, objective, non-man-made, eternal, and immutable conditions which govern the consequences of behavior of beings with the capacity for understanding the difference between harmful and non-harmful behavior. Funnel 5, a free two-day online conference.
Ignite hearts and minds.
The event that will spark truth, love, and freedom.
February 21st and 22nd, 2026.
For more information, visit freedomundernaturallaw.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here, another One Great Work Warrior roundtable discussion. Which makes this one special is that this is the last one of the year, so this is going to be a great one. To start off, I do want to welcome all the warriors here. We have got Jerry, we've got Chris, we've got Derek, we've got Brandon, and of course Jim and myself. And this was a great topic. The topic is courage over fear, which I think is an important topic. It's going to be a great discussion. I'm looking forward to it. And this was Jerry's topic. So I would just like to kick it off, send it to you, Jerry, and let's open up this discussion.
Thank you, Rick. Beautiful introduction as always. So I will start off by just talking about how this topic came up, first of all. So as you know, the warriors, we always submit ideas to each other and we end up picking a topic to discuss every month. And these gentlemen picked great topics so far, as you can see the previous videos. So I asked myself, hey, what topic can I bring up? And the idea was courage. And that's kind of picking it back from the perseverance topic, something simple, something that we can talk about. And it's also something I haven't seen many people talking about. So I thought it would be a great idea to kind of just dive in a little bit deeper. Of course, seeing Mark Pass's presentation on fear of sacrifice, and he talks about courage is required in order to basically overcome laziness and cowardice and all this. That made me bring this topic to the table. And at first, I mean, what I did was I submitted it in the chat. I said, oh, here's my idea. And just that topic kept lingering in the back of my head, I suppose, after months. So I brought it up again. And now here we are. So this is the topic for December. And I think it's very powerful. So I could just start talking about the etymology of a few words such as moral, because what I think I'm going to talk about is moral courage versus physical courage and other forms of courage, because this is what's important, our behavior. So moral adjective, mid-14th century, associated with or characterized by right behavior. And courage from the century 1300, courage, heart as the seat of emotions, hence spirit, temperament, state, or frame of mind. And I got this definition from AI. So moral courage is the strength to act on your ethical principles and do what's right, even when facing potential risks like social disapproval, career threats, or personal loss, essentially bridging the gap between knowing what's right and actually doing it. It's about standing up for values like justice, integrity, and fairness, demonstrating perseverance and commitment to ethical action despite fear or resistance. And it's considered a pinnacle of ethical behavior in individuals and leaders. Another thing I think it's important to bring up here is the etymology of fear, because the title of this topic is Courage Over Fear. So from Middle English, fere, from Old English fire, calamity, sudden danger, peril, sudden attack, from Proto-Germanic feras, danger. So I think a lot of us are inundated with fear, and we need to exercise our courage, our internal courage, in order to rise above that fear and move forward and not keep us stuck or moving backwards. So with that being said, I'll pass it to Brandon.
Good, because I was going to talk about moral courage as well, and I wanted to build on what you just said. You know, because when we think about courage, or when I think about courage, I always have the image of the Tiananmen Square massacre, of the individual who stood in front of a tank. And sadly and unfortunately, I'm sure the individual lost his life, but, you know, that required bravery, that required cojones, you know, hell, that required heart, you know. So when we are talking about courage, we're talking about the quality, the state of mind that enables one to face fear, danger, or discomfort, you know. But a lot of people associate courage with what one should be doing. But unfortunately, we don't associate courage with what one should not be doing. And as Jerry pointed out, you know, when we are talking about moral courage, is choosing the right over the wrong, even if there are consequences. You know, just because everyone is doing the wrong thing doesn't mean you have to conform to that. You know, doing the right moral thing and what one should not do. Because having that true courage, having that true moral courage is the development of the inner hero. You know, being able to use discernment, being able to judge and weigh behaviors and to associate those with right and wrong, then therefore you can make the right choice in your own journey. So standing up and saying no, how many people are willing to do that, especially in a world and a society that has conformed with evil, you know, that has conformed to slavery, that has conformed to following orders? So how many people are willing to stand up and say, no, I am not going to do that? You know, how many people are willing to say, I am not going to be a part of the slave system? I am not going to follow orders. I am not going to sit and do nothing while slavery is running rampant and the loss of rights and freedom are being trampled on. How many people are willing to stand up and say that? How many people are willing to align themselves with true moral courage and then face that discomfort and face that danger and face that fear and face whatever evils may come their way? How many people are willing to do that? Unfortunately, sadly, not enough. You know, moral courage has to be developed, you know, because in a lot of the myths, in a lot of, you know, the legends, it was just talking about courage. And, you know, courage is a good thing, you know, to have. But when we talk about moral courage, I think you're going a little bit deeper on the more ethical, spiritual level to get them to understand that, hey, you know, you understand the difference between right and wrong. But that's just having held the knowledge. You still have to make that choice when it comes to your actions, to which choice are you going to make? Because you can still have the knowledge of right and wrong and still choose to do the wrong over the right. And that's not what having true moral courage is. So moral courage first starts off is you have to have the knowledge of what's morally right and wrong. And then the courage comes in by using right action by way of willpower. And again, how many people are actually doing that? How many people are willing to say, here's what I'm not willing to do. Not many people. And I found this excerpt to kind of sum all of this up on what I'm trying to get across as far as help moral courage. And I'm going to read it real quick. All right. Sometimes the bravest thing you can do is say no. And in a world that often rewards obedience, that courage is rarer than we think. That's the key lesson behind a simple yet powerful story, one that forces us to rethink what real courage looks like. In a hiring test that doubled as a moral experiment, a company's boss put three job applicants to the test. The first was told to punch and break a window pane. He did. Fortunately, it wasn't real glass, just a setup. Next, the second applicant was told to dump a bucket of dirty water onto a janitor resting in a nearby room. Without hesitation, he carried out the task, only to discover he had been splashed water onto a wax figure, not a real person. Both candidates had followed orders, never stopping to question the ethics or the morality in the orders that was given. Then came the third candidate. He was asked to punch a man in the main hall twice, but the applicant paused and said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I have no reason to hit him. And even if I did, violence is not the answer. I may lose this opportunity, but I won't execute such a command." He got the job. Why? Because he demonstrated true courage. The moral con that doesn't bend under pressure, and the intellectual con that thinks before it acts. The boss explained the strength doesn't lie in how blindly you obey, but in your ability to stand up and say no when something is wrong. That right there is sadly what humanity is lacking, because they're not willing to stand up and adhere to true conscience. Because that's really what we are talking about, is conscience. Because that's what moral courage is having the conscience to say, "I am not going to do this." So I'll pass it on to Chris.
Thanks, Brandon. Well, that's kind of lucky I get to go before Derek, because I get to jump on the Tolkien. I know you're going to bring up J.R.R. Tolkien, but he's got this quote: "It is not the strength of the body that counts, but the strength of the spirit." You know, he showed that pretty good with the whole Frodo character, right? You know, the smallest, not toughest guy winds up taking on the most powerful thing. I got to thinking about how physical versus non-physical world is a big part of what I see as the crux of the issue. As far as I'm concerned, we are in a spiritual war. And, you know, in a past episode, we talked about what does it mean to be a warrior. And then we also talked about what is it like to live seeking the hopium, right? The drug of being pacified. And that's exactly what modern day evil is. It's passivity and distraction and living on, working towards comfort as a goal. Whereas, you know, we're in a time of spiritual war that doesn't look very good if everybody who cares about life and living and the future of freedom and humanity is fighting with their all like warriors, and then other people are literally just sitting down in the field acting like there's not a war going on. And that's largely based on the fact that we live in such a materialistic world. Everything from belief systems, school systems, political systems are all trying to distract and lead people towards being very physical, world-minded. And, which in there lies relativism and objectivism. You know, if you stand on objective morality and natural law, then you are standing on things that aren't visibly and physically firm, but there are the firmest and strongest things in the universe is principles. And they're not things that you can necessarily grasp with your hand, right? They're non-physical things that we have to understand. So I guess my point is that the biggest lie out there is just, it's just the way things are. There's nothing I can do about it. And that unchallenged lie continues to keep us enslaved, and it keeps us from standing for something higher, for standing something bigger than ourselves, spirit over body or truth over illusion. It keeps us in this material based comfort seeking, desire seeking wheel of what's actually torture. So I just want to say that, you know, you could get your body as strong as you want, but that's not going to make your mind strong. However, if you get your mind strong, that might also help you get a strong body. So why don't we start there? Courage is often working towards something you can't see. And it's also something that you have no guarantee of that will ever be. And so courage is a long-term striving and willpower towards something you don't necessarily can prove and something you can't necessarily see. So that's hard for today's world. And we got a lot to work on in that account. I'm going to pass it to, since I was talking smack about Derek, I know you got something to say about J.R. Tolkien and the Hobbits. All right.
Yeah, I love that. And I love, you know, seeing folks of the halfling stature to wherever they're at rise above whatever adversity they're faced up against. And, you know, it's very inspirational to see those things, you know. You had me laughing about something it's like thinking about like the Arnold Schwarzenegger type of stature, you know, all bronze but no brain. And so like, how is that looking like in a fight or just a normal low stakes conversation where you just need like a little bit of courage, self-confidence and stuff, and you got these man children like, you know, doing dumbass shit. People need to find the courage to dig deep within themselves and understand their parts and how they function and all this stuff and really face their fucking fears in that shadow that they've been avoiding the majority of their life and all that stuff, right? Would anyone care to take a deep dive into their subconscious mind? Might need a oxygen tank or whatever. But yeah, people do have phobias and some of them are legit. Like, I'm scared of the abyss below, you know, 10 feet, you know, in there on in the ocean. People can work with these things, you know. There's, you know, self-initiations that they can do, you know, just testing the extreme polarities of, you know, temperature and even their hunger, testing their metabolism and all these things, you know. Back to the heart of the matter. And excuse my French, but je vous souhaite un très bon courage dans votre voyage dans la vie. Les amis, mais oui. What did I just say? Bon courage. That's the main thing. That means, and they say this in France a lot, instead of saying good luck, which they have their way of saying it, bonne chance. That's how you say good luck. But a better way to say is, you know, like, hey, I'm going to work, wife or whatever, you know, like, oh, good luck. Doesn't that sound a little wishy-washy? Wouldn't it be better to say, like, bon courage? And it's not like, oh, you need that courage just to go to your fucking day-to-day 9-to-5 job, whatever. No, it's the courage. It's the same phonetics as courage. Cœur is heart in French. So, yeah, Jerry, going back to the etymology of things, that's kind of where things seem to stem from. And for me, it was always a good omen to hear people say that, living in France for 15 years. And bon courage. It's like, it's beyond just like wishing someone goodwill, but it's like kind of, it's like, affirmative, like, you got this, you know, like, just take that courage with you you know, take it in stride, take it, you know, with that heart-based intelligence. You know, if you're coming from the heart, from where it should really start, the fuck is it a fear? You know, this is one of the most powerful things we have within our human experience. This, you know, liquid crystal oscillating, you know, life force energy pumping through our physical body. Are you in rhythm with the beat of your own heart? Again, that's a good place for people to start. Everyone's so caught up on all this external shit, you know, got their ass cracks hanging on the outskirts of these rabbit holes. What the fuck does it actually mean in the end, my friend? You know, take it back to yourself, face the fucking mirror, see things in yourself a little bit more clear, you know, because it does take courage to see one's own faults and their mishaps and all these things. So yeah, it's like a motif of things that I talk about with a lot of friends and things on podcasts of just, you know, why is it so hard for people to admit that they're wrong? You know, bask in your fucking humility and use that as an opportunity to fucking learn and level the fuck up. You know, like, no one's fucking perfect, right? So yeah, it does take a little bit of courage in processing to correct and resolve and reconcile the things that ain't all cracking in your life, you know? So how are you able to respond with that proper responsibility to get your shit right? And it's kind of ironic because, you know, people can be fearful of acting in a courageous manner, I guess, in a sense, because people have in the back of their minds, like, you know, well, what if, you know, what if I do this and this and that? Well, what if you don't do the right thing when it fucking counts and when it matters, you know? Do people weigh out the options instead of like going over the fawning and the fleeing and fight, you know, fight or flight and all this, all these other things that people get caught up in, kind of paralyzed to a degree for a little instance, if you will. And that can kind of mess up their decision-making or even just acting on instinct, you know, with that gut instinct, that gut feeling of doing the right fucking thing, you know, no, despite what the fuck might fucking happen, you know. Do you want to continue the fucking suffering, or do you want to nip it in the fucking butt and might have to, you know, take a little loss, but you're going to, you know, not carry on this fucking bullshit for, you know, think about being in like some kind of abusive relationship. Do you want to carry it on? You think you're being courageous by just, you know, sitting with that and letting your shit get disrespected on a day-to-day basis? Do you want to fucking cut that shit off, cut the cord and fucking, you know, live your fucking life and be more independent? Things to consider. So yeah, hero's journey. There's always going to be those thresholds that people need to cross over of, you know, there's that fear factor or confrontation or things of that nature where, you know, think the whole underworld aspects and how they need to come up out of that shit. It takes courage to do those things. So farewell on your journey, my hobbits. And no, we're not in the Shire. Sorry, Chris, you got me thinking about that right now. But yeah, my dear friend, Chris, I mean, Jesus Christ, Ricky Bones in the house. Sorry.
Ricky Bones.
After you, my friend.
No, those are great points. God, yeah. I thought about this one a lot, and especially about fear. I'm interested in fear and figuring it out and how people get so gripped with fear in many situations. Because I do know fear will shackle you if you're, it really will, and has probably, I would argue, has shackled many people already. People are in this state of fear constantly, and I get it. I get why people are that way, because it's what's promoted in most social media or wherever. It's this fear that they keep constantly pumping out. And I keep telling people that don't worry, like they will always have another fear bullet in the chamber to keep people in that state. And I constantly say to myself and to other people that if you're in that state of fear and you live in that state, it's really hard to have any conscious thought, in my opinion. Like if you're just constantly in that fight or flight fear mode, I don't know how it's possible to actually sit down and really think deep and kind of, you know, kind of really just think about things at a, you know, that fear is so crippling and you see it all the time. I think about what, you know, the pandemic, you know, that was my example of how quickly fear can take over, not just a few people or a country, but the world. And that was my big wake up, really, how bad things were. I remember sitting back going, I cannot believe that they shut the world down. Like that, I would have thought of that even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have said it can't be done. And it was done, and it was done well and scary. And that, and some people didn't fall to fear. A lot of people did stand up. So I don't want to say everybody did. A lot of people were standing up against that fear, but boy, it took courage. And a lot of people that did stand up and face that fear back in those days are still feeling the repercussions for it. And I'm not just talking about jobs. I'm talking about family and friends. Talk to people. I've lost a few friends over that because of fear. So fear is something I'm very interested in because we all have it. It's all there, but how do you manage it? That's my question. Ask yourself, how do you manage that fear? You know, how do you, especially when you have, what are you willing to lose to do the right thing? I think of this a lot too. Like, what are you willing to sacrifice for truth and for the right thing, to do the right thing? What are you willing to give up? Because I know that there's going to be sacrifice that has to be made in a lot of cases. And I think and it could really affect your life in different ways. So it's a tricky one. I try to look at all sides of things, guys. I really do. And as I said, I get why people are in the state of fear, but it really is. I love the hero's journey, like Derek was saying, and you know, Chris brought up Tolkien and stuff. I always like that when the underdog finds their courage against all odds. I think all of us are drawn to that story, and there's a reason, because there's power in that story to me. Like, it's so inspirational. I like that. I like to see the underdog really fight through that fear. Because God, man, fear just. I will come back to the morality, you know, morals and stuff like that. I get it. You guys have covered that a lot, but I wanted to lead off with fear because I don't know, man. I think it's really got a grip on people, and especially now. And I think about just how, you know, I try to look at people, and as I just said, what are they willing to give up comforts for the right thing? Are they willing to go against the grain and lose things for truth and for what's right? And some do. And what interests me too, see, I'm asking more questions. This is kind of what I do. This is my process. Like, you know, what makes the people that do find that courage? And I'm so interested in that dynamic of have the fear, but you overcome that fear. And there's some people that can do it, and there's some people that can't. And that's the little gap that I want to explore. And I do explore, and it's very interesting to me because some people don't. Some people will cave, and I'm interested, why do some people cave and why some don't? It has to do something with getting to know who you are and testing yourself. I think testing yourself maybe is a good way. Testing your metal, forged in fire kind of thing. I've said that before in other ones. But that's where my thoughts are. So I'm going to leave it at that because I'm asking so many questions, and I'm going to just start doing this. So I'll pass it to Jim and come back to this. So take it away, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Vic. So what those questions you're asking, definitely, you know, what we're trying to do just by making this video is to inspire people who don't have the courage to speak out, because maybe they do understand, you know, objective morality and that the consciousness of humanity is like everyone's going around lying to themselves, and that they want to bring that out to the world, but they're too scared, right? And fear is easy. Like, I'm even when it's my turn to come on here, I get nervous just to speak, right? Like, it's just, it's really fear over courage. Is fear is definitely dominant, and we're trying to inspire people to build up that courage, because right, like courage is taking action despite the fear, because the fear is always going to be there, right? You'll find that many of people that you look up to as heroes or celebrities or musicians, even like just people that you admire, they all suffer with fear and stage fright and that, like, and not to put like those kind of people on pedestals or anything, but it's just that, you know, they do it despite the fear, and the fear is not going away. Like, the fear is always going to be there. And the courage of, I love how it's, you know, the etymology is from the heart, right? The truth is in your heart. And if you can live from that, like, the fear is in your brain, right? The amygdala, that it's a survival mechanism. That's just part of our nature. It's not going away, but we project it on little things. Like, the scariest thing in the world to people is just public speaking, right? So courage is a long-term thing that you have to build up. And the thing is, like, you guys have all kind of touched upon this, is what we're really challenging you to do is to challenge the mainstream, right? And that's what you're really afraid of. Once you start challenging the mainstream, throughout history, what happens when you do that? Like, you get excommunicated, blackballed, you know, like back in the day, like, you could get killed for speaking truth. And today it's like, it's not, you can go and start your own YouTube channels saying like the Pope is a pedophile and nothing's going to happen to you. But, you know, now, most people just afraid to speak the truth because they're going to lose friends, like you mentioned, or your family members, the people are going to think you're crazy. But really, in the long run, challenging the mainstream, you know, the truth has got to win out in the end. You got to bring awareness to bring light to the truth, like and like, you know, like Brandon's saying, you know, do the right thing and not do things that are wrong. So but yeah, this is all good. This is all it's all about inspiring others to build up that courage. So I'll pass it back to you, Jerry.
I gotta take that breath sometimes, you know, kind of get back to normal. But yeah, you made some great points. Something that really struck me was the musician, right? That goes on stage. From that photo you shared, that he's always fearful when he goes on stage. And it's like, yeah, people want to act out courageous, or they're fake. But courage, you can't fake courage, right? It's internal, and you have to be real with yourself. If you're not real with yourself, you can't be real to anyone else. That's the way it is. So fear, we all have it. I think we already mentioned that. It's just about overcoming it. And I know Chris Nelson has that series on love versus fear. I think you should check it out. so you can get inspired and start acting from the heart-based consciousness. And yeah, something else that I thought of was essentially once you say you latch on to this idea of moral courage, right? To stay the course, or I can use the example of, you know, climbing up the mountain of truth and not pitching your tent, you know, halfway up. It's like, keep going, because there's still a 50% of truth to be found, let's say, in this example. So you kind of have to trust yourself to keep going, even though rough conditions may arise or excuses, or someone offers you a bunch of money and say, oh yeah, get off the path. So you really, you have to have integrity first and foremost. Say, you have to know who you are, right? It's like, what do you stand for? What principles do you stand on? It's, you know, morality. Because without that, how the fuck can we have a fucking functioning society? And you just can't. So, yeah, I just wanted to also talk about, what are you willing to give up, right? I like to talk about giving up your life, because that's what it might take. As an example, Brandon mentioned with the guy standing up to the tanks. And I just have to freaking acknowledge that media is so important, man. Just seeing that photo, oh my God. It speaks volumes of his character. And something else I was looking into was basically during World War II, right? All the, say, Germans who helped the Jews not get assassinated, they were keeping them in their houses, keeping them safe, lying to the order followers. That's an example of moral courage and kind of doing what's right. And I haven't read this PDF, but it's titled Roots of Moral Courage. So if you want to kind of read more about it, I would recommend checking it out. I'm going to read a little bit from this first page. It says, the findings are significant for two reasons. First, it is internal traits rather than external circumstances that led people to rescue Jews. Second, the findings point to a childhood development path that is conducive to fostering these traits. This research leads to a significant conclusion. Moral courage can be taught. So from that excerpt, I can add that parenting, conscious parenting is key, right? If you want to have a moral society, you have to basically be moral yourself and then teach that to the children so then they can follow that right path. So yeah, just I'll end that. You know, it's moral courage is a muscle. You have to use it daily, and fucking, you got to be strong for when a time arises and you have to exercise that moral courage. You know, you got to be ready. So I hope this inspires you. And last thing I will say is think about not helping others who need the help. Just think about if you don't do anything, that is an action. So think about those consequences and that karma you're putting on yourself. So I'll pass it to Brandon.
Jerry, I think you snuck in my house today and stole my notes because you're taking everything I damn near said. But will the real MCs please stand up? And we ain't talking about the master of ceremonies. You know, the ones with true moral courage are the ones who are willing to stand up and, you know, stand for something based in true principles and true good. You know, so we talked about, you know, like the etymology, you know, talking about how the heart. Well, what is this in reference to, you know? And you know, we hear the myths about the weighing of the heart, you know, with Mayat and the scales of justice, you know. So, you know, again, when we're talking about how the heart and courage and the weighing of the heart is, hell again, did you do the right thing when the time came? You know, did you make the right choice? Did you express conscience? Were you in right livelihood? You know, hell again, we're talking about how morality and behaviors that have an effect on not just yourself and not just other human beings, but on to nature itself and into her reality itself. So the weighing of the heart, you know, doing the right thing at all times, even when no one's watching. Are you willing to still do that? You know, because there's not going to be any accolades. People may not even remember what you did. You're not going to get any cheers. You're not going to get any claps. You're not going to get any hurrahs. You're not going to get, you know, the job or, you know, freaking money or the girl or, you know, the guy, if you into that stuff. But it's still the right thing to do. You know, the weighing of the heart was about doing the right thing, even when no one was looking, when no one was watching, because again, it was the right thing to do. And that's what we are trying to inspire when we are talking about courage, because again, the topic is courage over fear. But I think people can see all the fear that's in the world, you know, but they don't see the courage because they lack the true inner knowledge to even see and understand what true courage is. Because sadly, most people think courage is going out and following orders. People think courage is signing your life away to go fight some useless banker war. People think courage is trying to round up, you know, certain groups of people to send them, you know, back to their home country. Like, that's what people associate courage with in this upside down world. But there's never any mention of morality. There's never any mention of conscience. So when we're talking about the weighing of the heart, you know, hell again, standing up for true principles. What did you do in the time when evil was rampant? What did you do? And there's this bullshit saying that everyone has a price. The only ones who have a price are the ones who lack moral courage and conscience. Because the true warrior doesn't have a price. As a matter of fact, if you even bring that shit up to me, that is an assault on my integrity, and I'm going to react and call you on your bullshit. Don't bring that shit my fucking way. Don't bring that shit my fucking way, because you're going to see me fucking flip. Don't insult my integrity. Don't insult the principles, because this shit is fucking real. So, as Jerry mentioned, you know, the so-called parenting. You know, we live in a society where most people who are parents are trying to tell their kids what to do. Hey, you need to go to school. You need to go to college. You need to go to university. And of course, that's mind control in and of itself. You know, that's a whole different, we can do another show about that bullshit. But you also have parents telling, you know, the kids, hey, you need to go get a good job. Even most of them would tell them, hey, go get a government job. Go get a cozy government job so you don't have to do nothing. Like, we've all heard, parents tell their kids that, go get a government job because you can just blend in the system and you don't have to do nothing and you'll get a paycheck. Then you hear a lot of so-called parents saying, hey, you should go get married. But again, there's never what you should not do. How many parents are out there teaching their kids what they should not do? Hey, you should not be out there trying to look for a government job. Hey, you should not be out there trying to join the military and the cult of older followers. Hey, you should not even want to even vote. Hey, you should not want to engage and condone immoral behaviors. How many parents are actually trying to instill that knowledge into their kids? And we wonder why moral courage is damn near dead. We wonder why principles are nowhere to be found. We wonder why people don't even understand what true integrity is. Because, hell, again, what are you not willing to do? Everyone's talking about what you should be doing, but again, look at it from the apathetic sense. Look at it through the negative. What should you not be doing? What should you not be teaching your children? That right there is going to hit a whole lot harder and have a longer lasting effect than just teaching them through, hey, here's what you should be doing. Because it's easier to say, here's what you should do, but it's a whole lot harder and it takes a lot more discipline. Because that's really what we are talking about too, is being disciplined to say, here's what I'm not going to do. And another image that came to mind was during World War II with the whole Nazi salutes. And you had everyone doing the whole, you know, had Nazi salute. And you had that one badass just sitting there, you know, and he refused to do it. That right there took courage. That took moral courage. Because again, he said he's not going to conform, you know. And he was willing to do the right thing. And that's what we need more of. And sadly, that's just not what the individual in society has. So you have the image of the Tiananmen Square, and then you have the individual who's not doing held a Nazi salute. Those are possibly two of the powerfulest images that one can even think of, because those two images right there reference the problems with humanity and how we are not willing to stand up and do the right thing. And sadly, we wonder why our hearts are just being gobbled up by Ahmet. You know, hell, the crocodile, hell, have dog, have, crocodile, a symbolic reference of how we have gone to this materialistic, you know, mindset and engaged in animalistic, satanic mindset to have the heart being gobbled up, you know, because it was encompassed, it was weighed down by all of the trauma and baggage and wrongdoing and immoralness and the negative energy that comes along with those behaviors that are associated with evil and wrongdoing. But no one wants to be the real MC, you know, like no one wants to have that real MC and have their heart truly weighed on the scales of justice, on the scales of Mayotte, you know, with the feather, because that's what the courage was supposed to be about, doing the right fucking thing, even in the face of danger. And like Jerry said, you know, yeah, there may come a time when your life may be on the line, you know, like, are you going to fold then? You know, hey, only time will tell. Only time will tell. But, you know, until we ask ourselves that internal question, what am I not willing to do? Then moral courage will never, ever be developed. What am I not willing to do? You know, so having things like guts, spirit, valor, and fortitude are required, because, you know, again, everybody is just conforming to whatever society says is the thing to do. It's like everyone's doing, even majority of the people who claim to know what's going on, they're just conformists. Until you get to the moral aspects of causality and what true principles are, you're just a cog in the machine, as far as I'm, you know, concerned. You're just a cog in the machine. So you can know about the Federal Reserve and all of the government stuff and you know, like all about the Jesuits and, you know, the Vatican and all that shit. Until you develop a moral conscience, you're still asleep. You're still not aware. And you're still supporting the slave system. So, again, ask yourself this question, what am I not willing to do? Am I going to continue to not do anything? Am I going to continue to sit down and be a coward? Or am I finally going to develop the courage and the kahunas to stand in true principles and stand alongside my few, extremely few brothers and sisters who are willing to fight this battle. Because the sad thing is, like, you know, we look to our lefts and we look to our right, and there ain't many people trying to help. There ain't many people trying to, you know, help assist. And there's only like a few of us, and, you know, we're in the trenches. And it's like, damn, you know, like, where's the backup, guys? It's like, you know, it's like, coach, I want to be subbed out, you know, sometimes, you know, because it's like, man, you know, the shit gets tiring, you know. And you know, and I've only been doing it for like 5 years, but it's like, man, some assistance would be nice. And that's all we're asking for, is trying to inspire, you know, others to come along and assist. And not just assist, but align. Align to true principles, align to true morality, and align to the truth. Because it's easier to say something and say, I'm going to do this, but it's a whole different animal to actually do it, to actually get involved. And sadly, that's where most people lack the true moral courage.
Yeah, that is the case, Brandon. And something you said combined with something Jerry was saying, you know, it is exercise, building courage. How do you build courage? You know, it takes little steps to get to the bigger steps. I had a lot of fun looking at quotes to prepare for this episode, and I came up with this one I like a lot. A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. G.T. Shedd. You know, we're like the ship, right? Like, we're not built to just sit in the harbor. We have work to do in this world, and this realm is offering a lot of opportunity for us to show courage rather than fall into the fear. Another one I found, that fear has two meanings. Now, this is using the letters F-E-A-R. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. So, you know, you basically got two choices, you know, be controlled by fear or control yourself in a face of fear. And so, you know, obviously one sounds a lot better. You know, you want to live with those rose-colored glasses, or you want to put on the they live glasses. You know, it is kind of like one or the other. And open waters of the world, of this realm we live in, it's turbulent. There's evil all around us. Like we were talking about, people are so concentrated on the physical realm that it's harder to see. It's harder to think about principles. It's harder to consistently and honestly keep asking questions when you know that there's no end, right, to this. And I kind of reminds me of something I've thought a lot about with when we're not healthy, when we're sick. It gets scary sometimes, right? Your body's not working right. You don't know if it's going to start working right sometimes. And what I've realized sometimes is the biggest fear I go through when I've been sick or ill is, how long is this going to last? What if this never ends? You know, what if I never get my hearing back or my vision or whatever it is, my tooth? You know, it's a scary thought. And so it occurred to me that, you know, we don't always get those Tiananmen Square. I'm glad you guys brought, that's a good one. It's a good image. It's a good symbol. Or Frodo, you know, at the edge of the volcano, dropping the ring. You know, this is the type of stuff that we imagine when it comes to courage. And some of us do have, you know, these amazing exemplary moments where we prove our courage. But for the most part, realistically, for most of us, it's a day-to-day grind of, like, this word steadfast comes to my mind. It's showing up time after time again. It's waking up when it's hard to wake up. And going out and doing things and pulling that will up outside of yourself when it's hard to find, and doing that over and over and over, right? I mean, we're all going to have those moments or days when we reflect on mistakes we've made, or we feel guilt, or we look at choices we've made and being like, man, I should have made those differently. Those are the points when you get full of fear and anxiety and depression. And that's the point when you really have to draw your courage and look deep within inside and be like, why am I really here? Did the universe and the world and everything just put me here just to be sitting in a harbor? You know what I mean? Or am I supposed to be out on the seas like the other boats, right? Like, there is a reason you're here and there is purpose behind it. So, you know, stop waiting for something to happen. Why are you waiting for someone else to do something or waiting for some opportunity to come? This is your moment. Every moment passing is another lost opportunity if you're not showing up with integrity, if you're not showing up with a refusal to submit to authority and, you know, here for the long-term battle. And that's really ultimately what the warrior spirit is. It's not not having fear. Fear is what carries the deer away from danger. Fear is what protects us from survival situations. Fear is a good thing. But the bad thing is letting fear control your actions. So what we need to do is stand in the face of fear and take courageous action. That doesn't mean you're not afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, and it's natural to be that way. So, yeah, I think the encouragement towards you, the listener, and finding that part within yourself to draw up courage, even though it seems hard, even though it seems impossible, and do something, however small and however consistent, and keep doing it and keep exercising that muscle of courage. And the more you exercise it, it's not always going to get easier, but it will over time. And you'll be able to do more and more. So I'll leave it at that. Pass it on to Derek.
Cheers, Billy. Yeah. And got to piggyback on that because, you know, people can just step back, examine their lives. How have you responded to certain things, you know, interactions, confrontations, whatever, that had you on your wit's end? How did you respond? You know, and how can you learn from those experiences to respond better? You know, even if you had a proper response in the past, we can still refine certain things, and you know what I mean? So yeah, that's kind of what I was hinting at in regards to like initiating yourself, like testing yourself, you know, put yourself on the brink of these things. Or rather challenges in life, and it's more about you versus yourself and testing your limitations and getting comfortable outside of your fucking comfort zones. How many fucking people out there with the pop psychology and all this stuff and like the sheltered spirituality folks and all this shit, it's very blatantly obvious of some people that just lack fucking streetwise spirituality experiences and shit like that. And some of these motherfuckers are just like, they're in fear of having proper responsibility in the 3D fucking world. People talking about all this 5D shit and whatever the fuck and all this stuff. Or you got people bringing it back to the Lord of the Rings, talking all this wizardry, Gandalf stuff or kingly stuff and trying to be like Aragorn. When these people haven't even left the fucking Shire. You know? So what the fuck? Take the fucking journey. This is the flip side of what the fuck the fool sees. You see the Mount Doom right there? I got this new tarot deck. It's fucking awesome. It's a gift for my lady. But anyways, gonna go into some of the notes I wrote. And yeah, a lot of people grew up in fucked up situations, you know. Generational trauma. Y'all been there? How many times have you seen this vicious cycle played out where the victim becomes the victimizer? A young child, boy or girl, two genders. Oh, trigger. Take the courage to fucking understand the fucking law of gender, motherfuckers. Natural law, bitches. So, there's been, let's say you've been molested or whatever the fuck, or, you know, slapped around, you got beat with the belt. Are you going to fucking pass that on to your fucking kin? Whether it be your people in your, you know, love life, friend circle, or your own fucking children. Is that how you express love? That ain't no motherfucking heart-based intelligence. That's, yeah, that's not mother loving, is it? That's motherfucking. Fucking with the mother spirits. Stop it, people. as Mario West would say, just stop. So we have these internal oppositions, right? The tug of war with the brain and the heart. I love this slide that Brandon Martin had on one of his great presentations. Could have been for the funnel, but possibly for the seed. Either way, y'all need to check those conferences out nonetheless. But I'm just going to read real quick. A balance must be struck between the heart and the brain. This is what is known as heart-based consciousness. It is when we have harmonized or resonated our biology with our higher mind. Far too often, we are in eternal dualism when our heart and brain are having communication breakdown between the two. I'm sure you've experienced a few, right? So, with men, we have two heads, right? The smaller head below the belt and this one. And the neocortex needs to be, you know, awaken that shit, Neo, right? Y'all know the deal on that. But we have to base the heart mind, the first eye, from the seat of the soul, the heart, right? And that care, staying on course, of course, with the courage. Oh yeah, no one ever mentioned that good old Wizard of Oz, which is great. Y'all need to check out Mark Passio's presentation on that. That's all I'm going to say on that. But I'm pulling up a slide that talks briefly on the six types of courage. Physical courage, to keep going with resiliency, balance, and awareness. Social courage, to be yourself unapologetically. I mean, I guess, let's just say, be your fucking authentic self. You know what I mean? You can apologize for your shitty behavior too at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, ain't nobody perfect. Anyways, moral courage. Doing the right thing even when it's uncomfortable or unpopular. Yes, again, how many people are able to be comfortable way the fuck outside of their comfort zones? Jim, I know you got a slide on that. And I know you touched on that, so I'll let you fill in the gaps on that. How about emotional courage, right? All these guys, right? Oh, they lack emotion. I guess, right? It's just we don't have the same wiring as women. It doesn't mean we lack fucking shit. It's just like men have a difficult time more than women to control their emotions. Yet women can control their emotions a little bit better. Not to get into any war of the sexes type of dialectic bullshit. Because way beyond that. But the emotional courage. Feeling all your emotions, the positive and negative, and all the degrees in between, without guilt or attachment. But also without acting off of the impulses of them. Digest them. Process them. Transmute them. Transcend and all that shit, my friend, right? So another one, intellectual courage, you know, with the phallus moving from the chalice, you know, the swords being, you know, intellect of the masculine side of things, to learn, unlearn, and relearn with an open and flexible mind. How many people have the courage to, you know, break out of the fucking I forget the word, but you know, it's like not being able to recognize your own logical fallacies. Oh my God, I can't think of the name. That's weird. Excuse my French in my train of thought. But and then we have spiritual courage, living with purpose and meaning through a heart-centered approach towards all life. And oneself. And your brothers and sisters. Hey, why not? And again, like, how are people really expressing their love for the things that they claim to love? You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of people say, oh, I love this. And then they fucking, they treat them like a fucking object. Because, you know, their lives all ain't all that fucking integrated. So avoiding your triggers isn't healing. Healing happens when you're triggered and you're able to move through the pain, the pattern, and the story and walk your way to a different ending. Or just, you know, level the fuck up and heal, right? Last slide from quotes I'm going to read, and this is for you, Jim. The heart's calling to live by, you know, truth in your heart. That's Jim's handle on his YouTube channel, by the way. To live by following the truth in our hearts requires us to trust more and more in the unknown. And a lot of people have the fear of the unknown, right? That's what is holding a lot of people back, right? And the fear of death and all this stuff, not understanding that death is just another doorway to the next, you know? So going back, for many of us, we know this is the only way for us. We get the paradox of how we're the creators of our own experience, yet we'll never really know exactly what's next. And so we decide it will unfold for our highest good. But we can be the cause point to the effects of that to a degree, right? And it always does. With this awareness, instead of suffering through the unknown, we're eager to see the magic of life revealed throughout our journey. That's not to say we never get scared or disappointed. Right? There are those times where we're tested and we have to feel that heart fluttering, this and that, like, ugh, right? Those are things to overcome. They come to pretty much every human being, right? So it's just that we know the game. When the heart calls, we listen. Again and again, we choose trust over doubt and courage over fear. We feel our hearts pumping even more life into us. We know that feeling, and we go with that. So with that, my friends, I'll pass it off to you, Rick. Thank you.
That was awesome. You guys covered so much. I was kind of like Brandon. All my bullet points are knocked right down in the first round almost. So, yeah, really cool stuff. And I like, Derek, that you brought up like all the different forms of courage, because courage does take many different forms. And I definitely got the physical courage down, in my opinion. I mean, there is days that it takes everything just to get out of bed and moving with my condition. So I think I got the physical aspect down pretty well, that courage part. But it's definitely tough. But I did like something that you said, Jerry, because you were talking about moral courage and it can be taught. It's like a muscle. I like that. And it's a muscle that you need to use every day, like small acts of courage. And you guys kind of all touched on that. I think Chris touched on it, and Brandon and everyone actually kind of touched on it, these small acts of courage every day. Because I did ask the question in my first go around, you know, how do you find that courage, and what makes people different who do find the courage, who don't? And it's these small acts of courage that you do every day. And Brandon kind of touched on it, which was really cool, that are you willing to do the right thing, to find the courage to do the right thing when no one's looking? Man, that's a test when you think about that. Like, it's easy to be courageous when you got an audience and you get all the cheers and everybody's, you know, holding you over their shoulder kind of thing. But geez, when there's nobody around and you have that decision, and I mean, that's something to really think about. Do you have that courage to do the right thing? When Brandon said that, I just went, wow, that's a really important thing to talk about. And especially when Brandon brought up the parents not like teaching their kids what not to do. And the problem I think we have is that we have a generation being raised on the internet and on social media, which we all, I think, can agree is like a cesspool in a lot of cases. And so I mean, parents really need to step up, I think, more now than ever. I mean, I think about when I was a kid and the struggles I think we all went through as kids were nowhere near what it is now. I couldn't imagine adding the internet in and social media and all of that. And then the problem is parents letting that raise their kids. I mean, it isn't any wonder we're kind of like where we're at. And so that was a great point, Brandon. Yeah. Are parents teaching what not to do? That's a really good question. And I think parents that are listening should be asking that. Like, are you really teaching that? That's good. I mean, you guys hit some great stuff here. I was kind of just thinking of putting down points because, like I said, all mine got knocked down, which just sucks. I'm kind of going near last. but a lot of great points. And Chris, you were saying, in the first go around, Chris, you were saying, you kind of touched on, can one person change anything? And I hear that a lot. You kind of, you touched on that at the first go around, because you hear that a lot. I hear it a lot. I'm like, I'm one person. Like, I can't change anything. What do you want me to do? And I always remind people, most great things start with one person getting it going like that, you know, having the courage to stand up and get the ball even rolling. It's that one person. I mean, I don't think it's very often it's a group, this huge group. It always takes that one individual to have the courage. So I do believe that one person can make a huge difference. I think history shows that in some cases. So yeah, really great stuff, guys. I think this was a really great topic, especially for the last show of the year. This is something I can think people really think about. We, you know, we've done shows on, God, some great topics over this year. And, you know, we've touched on ethics and we've touched on principles. And I think that all really ties in to this whole topic. I think it wraps it up beautifully because we're talking about this moral courage. And just to wrap up on fear, I think fear, I was thinking of fear too when you guys were talking. I think fear comes, a lot of fear comes from a lack of knowledge about, you know, yourself, and just a lack of knowledge, a lack of preparation. And I think you should have, it's important to have the courage to get strong, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally, and seeking that information. I think that would really eliminate some of the fear that people have. I think of you, Chris, with martial arts and stuff like that, like, you know, these are things you're doing that I think really help go against fear, that combat it. When you're ready for things, I think people are really stuck in fear when they just feel lost, hopeless. They have no solution. They're not even trying to find a solution. They just kind of throw their hands up and be like, I don't know what to do. And I don't ever want to be in that situation. Got enough problems physically. If things go to hell in a handbasket, I mean, I'm already going to be in trouble. But I don't, you know, the best I can prepare myself spiritually, mentally, physically, and really doing that muscle work of small acts of courage, I think, is so important. It's such a great point. These little things, because, you know, we think of courage in these big grand gestures, and you guys touched on that as well. But it's, you know, there's courage comes in all different shapes, sizes, small, huge, and it's important to realize that. So I'll end with that. Jim, go ahead.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, all you guys. I'll just keep it short because we're going over an hour here. About the comfort zone. I feel like the term comfort zone, it's too nice of a name for it because it sounds too positive. But the comfort zone is more like the evil zone, you know? It's that's the place where everyone goes to hide, you know, and doesn't do the right thing. No growth comes from being in the comfort zone, right? If you put that diagram up, it kind of shows like the comfort zone is much smaller and confined. But if you step out into the fear zone and keep breaking through, there's more growth, right? And care, you're going to generate care. But the comfort zone is like the place for degenerates, right? Like, it's like nothing but decline and degeneration can happen in the comfort zone. So just a little diagram or metaphor to inspire anyone out there who's still watching this. So I'm out. Guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks everybody for showing up. The courage it took to be part of this all year, through all the rough times. And to listeners, listen to your fucking heart. It will tell you what to do, or, you know, the right thing to do, but you got to listen. You got to listen to that still quiet voice, because it's not going to, you know, it's not going to yell in your ear. You got to fucking listen and pay attention to what your heart's trying to tell you, and put down the damn phone, turn off all the shit, and listen to your heart. That's where I'll leave it off. Thanks, guys. See you next time. This is One Great Work Warriors. Evil is the destruction of freedom.